ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. This is the conclusion of Bhagavad-gita. Before this, Lord Krishna explained various subjects of spiritual understanding to Arjuna. He explained about the paths of karma, jnana, yoga, worship of different demigods, performance of sacrifices. So many different points were discussed. Now, we could suppose that Krishna could have just told Arjuna right in the very beginning, well, the next verse says, surrender to Sarvadhaman Pritpaja, Amekam Sharvam Raja. Simply surrender to him. But instead, Krishna discussed so many different points before coming to conclusion. So from this we can understand that at that time also, there were so many different opinions about spiritual understanding. Now Arjuna is a pure devotee of Krishna, that's why he could understand the message of Bhagavad-gita in just a short time. Otherwise, many people are going on discussing Gita all their lifetime and they don't understand it. Arjuna immediately understood. Although, during the course of the discussion, Arjuna had different questions. He had different doubts, but Krishna cleared them all and Arjuna came very quickly to the understanding which Krishna wanted to give him, which was to surrender to him and become his devotee. Now, we understand from this that as Krishna again and again tells Arjuna that Arjuna is a pure devotee of Krishna, even not only in this life, but in many lifetimes. He's an eternal, he's a nitya parsha, eternal associate of Krishna. So he very quickly understood. But actually, Arjuna appeared to be in some kind of illusion, just so that he would express these different doubts on our behalf, or on behalf of other people who don't have the firm faith in Krishna that Arjuna did. So people have many different ideas about the spiritual life and spiritual understanding. There are many different ideas, right from those who are antagonistic to apathetic about spiritual life. There are many people who, they say, well, we don't need this. What is the use of this spiritual life? And there are others who say, well, we're not interested. We never take any interest in spiritual understanding. There are others also who perform religious activities as a kind of formality because they're expected to, or it's a kind of social obligation. There are others who perform religious activities for material gain. They go to the church, they take a little loss, and pray, dear God, give me anandi maindi, give me money, good health, help me pass my exams, and for so many different reasons they pray. But here the conclusion of the Gita is to simply surrender to Krishna for your own topmost benefit. Now, we'll find in the verse previous to this that Lord Krishna says, Sarva-bhuta-dhanam-priya shunamai paramam vacha. He says that now I'm going to speak to you the most confidential of all knowledge. This is my paramam vacha, my topmost instruction. So Krishna has spoken about karma and jnana and yoga, so many different things. And we can say that in some sense all these things are good. It's good in a relative sense. In other words, to follow the path of karma yoga, of course even what karma yoga means, there are different levels of karma yoga. Or to follow the path of regulated activities, that is good compared to not following any kind of system. If you follow the Vedic path of offering sacrifices, giving in charity, that is better than living a completely hedonistic life of sense enjoyment. But better than that is to be interested in spiritual knowledge, to be renounced. So there are different levels. But the ultimate good, shunamai paramam vacha, Krishna says, is given in this verse, manmanabharamabhata, always the good, and become my devotee. Now, as I was saying, there are many different opinions. And people, when they hear this, they don't think, well, it's just, seems to be very, too easy, too simple. Some people say that bhakti, that is just for very simple people, they're not very advanced in intelligence or not very learned. But actually, it's a natural thing, and therefore it's simple. Just like all these children are growing up here. And when you first teach them to walk, it's a very simple thing to teach them to walk because it's natural. If you wanted to teach them how to do some different kinds of gymnastics, you could also teach them. But it's not a natural thing. You have to teach them some dancing routine, some different kinds of complex dancing. You can teach them that, but it's more difficult because it's not natural. What's natural, what is meant for us, comes very easily. So actually Krishna bhakti, that is natural for the soul. It is the natural tendency of every living being to glorify Krishna and to think of Krishna. But in this material world, that propensity has become deflected. So instead of thinking of Krishna, we think of so many different things. Always our mind is full of something. But our natural tendency to think of Krishna has become perverted. So that if you see now, especially in the modern age, in TV, newspapers, they have created all different subjects for thinking about, just like that spot. Now they've created a whole big syndrome about spots. And they take it very seriously. Who will win the cricket match? But it's not very important, actually. If you examine what is a cricket match, it means someone is throwing a ball and someone is hitting with a piece of wood. It's actually maybe for children. But now they take it very seriously. They pay so many millions of dollars to organize sports competitions. Actually, it's just they've made a big scenario, a big hype about it, because it's good for business. When you sell, they're selling Pepsi Cola. Some cricketer is drinking it, so you should also drink it. It's all just made for diverting our minds. There's so many programs on television. And it actually brings down the intelligence level. So that people become fascinated by things which have no meaning whatsoever. You see, Krishna says, always think of me when we're thinking of sports stars, music stars, and someone who's got the worst character, some rock singer, they become glorified. So that tendency to glorify others is there. Just see, if you see some Indian cricket team comes to Sharjah, and glorify them. Such great people. But what is their greatness? Their greatness is their ability to hit a ball with a piece of wood. Or a great singer, what is his ability? To jump around on a stage with long hair, dropping up and down. So that tendency, we have to glorify others, but we don't know who we should glorify, so that we will be fully satisfied. Actually, we should be glorifying Krishna. But if we don't glorify Krishna, then we'll glorify someone. We have to see what is the result. If you glorify Michael Jackson, what will be the result? You won't get bliss. You won't get happiness. You won't get satisfaction. Either in this life or in the future life. But if you glorify Krishna, then the result is Jatvadeham Sinarjah, 1980 surgery. But you go to Krishna and you live an eternal life of bliss. Even in this life, if you glorify materialistic people, then your heart will never feel any satisfaction. But if you glorify Krishna, then automatically you feel so, by Krishna's blessings, you feel so much satisfied. Because that is the nature of Krishna bhakti, it's natural for the soul. We are all hankering after happiness. Everyone wants happiness. But the actual fact is, there is no happiness in this material world. Krishna has already certified, Dukhalayama Shashvata. Anityama Sukham Loka, twice in Peter Krishna's. There's no happiness in this material world. And even if you think that I have happiness, that everything here is temporary, You see, people are coming to Abu Dhabi. They're thinking, I would be more happy than if I stay in India or Bangladesh. But it's true that people have facilities. They have cars, smooth roads, not like in India. The roads are very smooth, and you get all different kinds of foods from all over the world. Permitted air conditioning. You have to get air conditioning. It's too hot. It's the desert. So you have so many facilities. So you can say that some standard of comfort, material comfort, has been achieved. But is that synonymous with happiness? Is that synonymous with satisfaction of the soul? No. That is the great myth of materialistic civilization. The whole world actually is copying America, which has developed a whole society based on industrialization and commercialism, make more goods, export them. So it's based on building up the economy. But it's not, people think, well, if I go to America, I'll be happy. But it's not true. It's not that people in America are happy. There's so many social problems. You can't walk on the street in the main cities, especially after dark. It's dangerous. So what kind of society are they producing? They're making a society based on materialism. And the dollar note, it said, in God we trust. But actually they've put their faith more in money, economic development. And they say, in God we trust, that the Protestant ethic of which America was built up was that God helps those who help themselves. So the idea is that you should work very hard and God will bless you to become rich and get more money. So it comes to the same point, materialism. Therefore in Bhagavatam, whatever is in Gita, which in the Greek way, is there in a more expanded way in Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam says, Dharmasya Yapavagasya Narata Tayapakalpate, that religious activity should not be performed for material gain. That's not actually the point of religion. You see, there are so many temples in India. The temple, especially the most popular temple, is at Tirupati. So everyone is going there and praying to God, give me. Now I'm putting 1 lakh in the hundi, but I'm expecting 1 crore. From that. It's good business. Actually, it's a fact. Lord is kind to people in his way. But actually, the Lord is not very pleased with that. People are coming, give me, just like your children, when they're young, especially, they expect simply to take from the parents. The other day, I was seeing one of my godbrothers, his Grihastha devotee. So the children have written in a letter that, dear father, we love you very much. When you come from Dubai, please bring this. So in the children, when they're young, they simply expect to take from the parents. But when they get older, then the parents also expect that they will reciprocate. Of course, in a modern age, we don't know, because now, different kind of society. Now they're promoting the materialistic society. And now the children, when they grow up, they don't want to look after their parents, and now they're making, in India also, old age homes, because parents, children don't want to look after them, they want to go to practice. Parents are a nuisance. So, anyway, the point I'm making is that with the parents, they expect some reciprocation of love from the children. So in the same way, Krishna, if we simply come to him all the time, give me this, give me that, give me that. And Krishna may think, well, they don't actually love me. They're only asking, what can you give me? Just like your father, a rich man, he has so many friends. But if he loses all his money, he loses all his friends also. Because the friends are there to see what they can extract from him. So that's not real friendship or real love. So Krishna is looking for our love. And that love means that going beyond the stage of, just like John Kennedy said, think not what your country can do for you, but think what you can do for your country. So it's actually a good sentiment, but that sentiment should be placed for Krishna. Actually, we can't do anything for Krishna. But that attitude should be that Krishna is looking for our love. But what can I do to serve Krishna? That is the exchange of love. Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Pramantaya Vare Bhaktya Prayata Kadaham Bhakti Bhaktas Tashnami Prayata. Krishna says, offer me leaf, flower, fruit and water. And what will we offer? Leaf, flower, fruit and water to God, who has created all these things. But simply Krishna says, if you offer me out of love, I will accept. Otherwise you could offer so many lavish items. But if there's no love there, Krishna won't accept. Just like Duryodhana wanted to invite Krishna to his palace for a meal, but he had some diplomatic purpose. So Krishna didn't want to go. But then Vidura invited, and then Vidura saw when his wife was there, and she was giving the banana skin in her ecstasy. And Krishna said, "No, they're offering with love, I have to accept." So Krishna's looking for the love of the devotee. And love means that we are simply thinking how to please Krishna, not what I can get from Krishna. And if anyone has that attitude, then their life becomes rich. Now Bill Gates is advertised as the richest man in the world. Although, maybe some of these Arab sheikhs and warriors, you can't see how much they have. Before the Sultan of Brunei was supposed to be the richest. At least in terms of visible money. These are all rich people. But are they actually rich? What really means rich is if you can have nothing, nothing material, and your heart is full. Whereas rich, simply get more money, bring more money. That's not actual richness. It's a very great mistake of modern civilization, that they equate success with material acquisition. Actually, I'm just finishing one book now, and I just finished writing, called Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life, and it shows how people in traditional Indian culture, they were satisfied to live very simply, but their life was centered on glorifying God, glorifying Krishna. But then the British came and they thought, this is hopeless for economic development. Because you see, even the man just has some cloth to wear, he goes to the river, in the meantime he washes the cloth, puts it to dry, by the time he takes back, it's already dry, puts it back on again. And whatever food is coming is satisfied. The British said, this is terrible. And how are we going to make people work in factories if they're satisfied? One friend was telling me, he's from America, and he made some ashram in the country, in Karnataka. So he was arranging for the construction. So he thought the construction work is going on very slowly. The people, they're working just at their own speed. So he had to hire one local village man to oversee the work. So he said, Americans here, let's pay them more and then they'll work hard. He said, no, don't pay them more, then they won't come. He said, well, that doesn't make sense. I'll pay them more anyway. So he paid them more and the next day they didn't come. He said, why is that? He said, well, they have enough money to eat for 2 days, so why should they come? When they need more money, they'll come back again. Now in Delhi and Bombay you won't find that. That's the old way of living. But the idea is that they're satisfied whatever we have, enough. So the idea was that, the idea in the old Indian culture was that we should be satisfied with whatever God gives and we should dedicate our life to serving Him. Kirtan, that we want to rise early in the morning, to everyone would do puja now. Tradition was this, everyone would do puja, some part, a japa, everyone would do. Now everyone in India is up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, watching videos. Some of them more advanced, they're on the internet. I invented the TV. More intelligent people didn't take it. So then I invented the computer, the internet. Now everyone's gone. And I was there. So now everyone in India is up till late at night and sleeping till 9 o'clock. As late as possible. So that culture is gone. But previously the culture was, be satisfied with whatever you have and dedicate your life to worshiping. British they made it, or the modern idea is that even if you have millions of dollars, you should never be satisfied. Go on working. Go on. It's like Bill Gates. He can retire. He doesn't have to go on. Now he's fighting some big court case. What does he need? He can retire and live more comfortably than anyone else in the world for the rest of his life. You think I have to invent more, some new software. Always this idea. Never satisfied. So what is better, to be satisfied with nothing, or to be never satisfied even with billions of dollars? These are very basic things people don't have, because they've lost the clue to happy life. Happy life is not that everyone has to be a beggar. You have to do some activity in this world. Krishna never told Arjuna to stop his fighting. He was a kshatriya, so his duty was to fight. Krishna didn't tell him to stop that. So what is the essence of life? It's driven by Krishna. Because this human life is attained after many, many births. In this life we have the opportunity to think of Krishna and go to Krishna. So if we don't use that opportunity, if we simply use our whole life for indriya sukha, the animals are doing that also. So that means in the next life we lose the opportunity of human life. So Krishna is teaching Arjuna, think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me. Unfortunately, due to the influence of Kali Yuga, people were not taking this very seriously. So Krishna came again in the form of his own devotee, Krishna Chaitanya, and gave us the formula how we can think of him very easily. Actually, there's nothing difficult to think about Krishna. If you say think of Krishna, is there anything difficult there? Nothing difficult. But we've made life very difficult. And we have so many complicated business and all the time. We're trying to sit peacefully and take lunch and we have to sell the phone and all the money. Life has become very complex. But actually the essence of life is very easy to think of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the very easy process to chant the names of Krishna. Such a valuable thing. Here in the desert, they found black gold. And in Dubai, you'll see, there's also the gold soup. They're thinking that gold means soup. But it's not actually because of soup. But the real treasure is coming in the desert. The name of Krishna. Better than him. You know that story of Sanatana Goswami? You all know that story? You don't know what's going on. Sanatana Goswami was one of the greatest devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was living in Vrindavan. At that time there was a worshipper of Lord Shiva who thought, I want to get the most valuable thing in the world. So he was doing very severe austerities in Badrinath area. Cutting his flesh, putting it in the fire. Om Namo Shivaya. So Lord Shiva appeared to him and said, what do you want? I want the most valuable thing in the world. Give it to me. He said, I don't have it. So now can go Swami in Vrindavan, he has it. Go down to Vrindavan, you can get it from him. So this Shivupasa very eagerly walked down to Vrindavan and found, asked the people, where is Sanatana Goswami? So he found Sanatana Goswami just looking like a beggar, sitting under a tree, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So, are you Sanatana Goswami? Yes. Do you have the most valuable thing in the world? Yes. Can you give it to me? Lord Shiva said you give it to me. Yes? Okay, give it to me. So he said, you see over there, at the other side of the field, there's a pile of garbage where all the people throw out all the useless things. Look in there, you'll find one stone. It's called a Parashmani. If you touch it to any metal, it will turn into gold. Who can take it? So he went and he took it and he found, got some cooking pots and he touched it, made it become gold. So, it's the most valuable thing in the world. Now I can turn everything to gold and I can be richer than Bill Gates. So or he was touching everything, and he was thinking, wait a minute. Sanatana Goswami, why is he, he's got this parashana, he can turn anything to gold. But he's sitting under a tree, he doesn't care, it's out in the garbage, he threw it. I think he's cheated me. He doesn't care at all about this parashana, I mean, he must have something more valuable. So he came to Sanatana Goswami and said, do you have something more valuable than this? He said, yes. Well, you're supposed to be the most valuable thing in the world. So I gave the most valuable thing according to your calculation. But I have something more valuable than that. Well, why don't you give it to me? He said, okay. There's one condition. What's that? You see that pile of garbage you got the stone from? Put it back. And okay. So, what's the most valuable thing? This chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I don't see how that's the most valuable thing that our teacher Sukha, and he taught in holy sense. What is the most valuable thing? His holy name is Amrita, nectar. Amrita means that which stops death. And it's just like nectar, just like honey. You see, what is something very sweet? Holy name is very sweet. But we are feeling it. We don't feel that sweetness because we are thinking that material life is sweet. But actually the holy name of Krishna, those who are great devotees, they relish them. They chant it. The name of Krishna automatically springs from their heart and comes up through their mouth. Prayer to Krishna. They're relishing the name of Krishna, knowing that the name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. By chanting this name of Krishna, we, just as a byproduct of that, we become free from material life. So there's no comparison. Though you can't measure in material terms. If you want to measure what is the most valuable thing, like this gold or diamonds or jewels, maybe you remember, you've heard in history about the Nawab of Nizam of Hyderabad. He had huge palace, and there were so many rooms, and there were piles of jewels in every room. But he was such a miser, he would be very, very careful. So he couldn't, and even he had so many things he couldn't enjoy. And there are others who have money, just like sons of rich men, they inherit money, and they think, let us enjoy it. Just like you'll find here in the Gulf. You'll find here in the Gulf so many Arabs, they're born into riches. So they just spend it. Okay. Spend it. But they're not happy. They're quite frustrated. So people, they don't know what is happening. The actual happiness Krishna's given them. I'm gonna think of me. Because Krishna means the reservoir of all happiness. It's on a completely different platform. It cannot be compared to material happiness. All the happiness, if you can imagine all the happiness in the world, what do people want? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Nanam Nanam Nasundarim. People imagine happiness as having a lot of money, having name and fame, many followers, and Sundarim. For a man, he conceives happiness as having beautiful wife, and many girlfriends. A woman conceives materialistic woman might conceive that if I had a very good husband, like all these film stars or something like that, that would be very nice. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, na janam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam ma. Means, kavitva means, whatever else is described in all poetic language, I don't want all those things. I just want, mama jandani jandani shre bhavatat bhaktir haitakita. Mama jandani jandani means, I don't even want moksha. I'm ready to be born again and again, but I want causeless service to you, Mahaiti. Causeless service to you. And that is the, that this attitude is the cause of unlimited transcendental bliss, which materialistic people, they cannot even imagine. We can't even realize materialistic people. We're trying to be devotees of Krishna. But even in our very neophyte stage of Krishna consciousness, even the happiness we get is far more than anything that any material happiness can do. So Sometimes people ask me, they say, well, how long have you been in this Hare Krishna movement? And I say, tell them 20 plus years. And they ask, well, are you happy? So I tell them, okay. I wasn't happy, why should I do it? No one's coming with a gun and telling me you have to chant Hare Krishna. No one's forcing me to do this. If I wanted to, I could go back and join the 9-to-5 way of life. Could do. I never thought of it since the moment I first came in contact with this Krishna consciousness. I could do. What would I get there? What am I getting here? Such a nice life. Chant Hare Krishna. You have the best friends. One gentleman in South India, this thing is called, after some time, he wrote to me and said, is there any way I can serve you? He said, well, what can you do for me? I just need some cloth and a little prasada and I'm getting that anyway. So I wrote that, why don't you, if you want to do some service, you distribute Prabhupada's books in America. So he wrote back to me and said, it's very nice distributing these books, but the only problem is, I'm losing all my friends. That they say, well, come on, you're becoming too spiritual. It's all right to be religious, but not too much. So I wrote back and said, don't worry, Krishna will send you new friends. After some time I wrote back and said, I lost all my friends. But I've got so many good friends who are interested in Krishna. I'm glad I lost those other friends, because they were useless anyway. So that's the fact, we have the best friends. You see, Krishna consciousness is so nice. I never met any of you before. But we're all friends already, isn't it? Automatically. Because what? Because we have the best friend in the center of our lives, who's Krishna. So if we relate with Krishna, we can automatically relate with him. And we find that. I go all over the world, or even in Manipur Festival time, we meet the devotees, and immediately we can sit down and talk, because we have the same common interest, who's Krishna. And this kind of friendship is not meant for exploiting others. You see, in materialistic society, you make friends, it's, hey, let's be friendly, but you're really thinking how much advantage I can take from that person. But in Krishna consciousness, we simply want to share realizations about Krishna and help each other to become Krishna conscious. So even in this life, it's very happy. Very good life, very clean life. Otherwise, materialistic life means sinful life, unhappy life. You'll find, I mean, I'm sure you know so many, you must know so many people who are from the same background as you, who are eating meat and drink, getting drunk and going to parties. You find people are not happy like this. No one's in the slightest bit happy. They're, even physically, it's very bad for health to do all these things. And they're full of anxiety, not at all happy. But if you chant Hare Krishna, then you get the best friends, you get the best way of life, very clean, pure way of life. It's best for bringing up your children also, because in modern society it's very, very dangerous. It's very easy for children to become completely degraded. There's so much problem, more among the middle class in India, with the children. You know, taking intoxication, don't care, like I say, the old age homes, which I never heard of, because the children are throwing out their parents. We want to enjoy life, we're just a nuisance. That's what they're thinking. But if you bring up your children to Krishna conscious, they like it. They like to chant Hare Krishna, isn't it? They like to chant Hare Krishna, you can see. They like that. And they grow up learning about Krishna. So even from the material point of view, it's a much better way of life. And what to speak of the unlimited spiritual benefits you get by chanting Hare Krishna. So my request to you is, please chant Hare Krishna. And don't be deluded by so many different ideas when we were just discussing it. There's so many different gurus and swamis. But basically they're all self-interested. They're not interested in surrendering to Krishna. So let us surrender to Krishna within our capacity, within our, most of your Grihasthas. So you can fully surrender to Krishna in Grihastha. But there are also family duties, social duties, those things are there. But we should Krishnaize our lives. Put Krishna in the center. then you'll be happy in this life. And next life, you'll be dancing with Krishna, spiritually. So that is quite like the goal of our lives, to be fully Krishna conscious. Would you like to be fully Krishna conscious? Good. It's alright, now he's saying, after some time he'll be saying, Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any questions? I'm sure there may be some questions.
In the beginning, Krishna said that everyone has to engage in his prescribed duties. And now Krishna is saying, always think of me. So what are those prescribed duties and how we can engage, how we can always think of Krishna while engaging in those prescribed duties?
Well, that Krishna tells Arjuna succinctly, Nama Nasmara Yudhyacha. He told Arjuna that you think of me and fight. So Arjuna's prescribed duty was fighting. But Krishna told him, think of me and fight. So everyone has to do some kind of work. Arjuna was under the impression that Krishna was advising him to give up all kinds of work. Krishna told him, no, everyone has to do some kind of work. Even I do work. I don't have to, but I do, just to set an example for others. So everyone has to do some work, but we should remember Krishna in the midst of that work. So how can we do that? Therefore, we have the process of sadhana, based on chanting, so that we can remember Krishna throughout our days. It's a practice. Sadhana means process of practice, development. From sadhana comes siddhi. Siddhi in Krishna consciousness is always the condition. So, you chant, you get time, you read, you can also try to give Krishna consciousness to others. That will help to make our unavoidable relationships in the material world spiritualized, Krishnaized. Yoga Karma Sukhoshala. Krishna says yoga is the art of being. Kusha, the expert. How to always think of Krishna.
One more thing. Krishna is saying, can you worship me and offer your homages unto me? So worship doesn't include homages when I get to the...
No, madhyaji mam namaste. Actually, offering obeisances, that is all included in the worship process. Actually, namana, think of me. If you think of Krishna, become his devotee. Actually, all four things, they all add up to the same thing. But Krishna is, it's just like repetition. For the sake of giving some emphasis. Of course, it's possible to think of Krishna not being his devotee. Comfortable. But that Krishna is not recommended. Especially now, if we say madhyaji, it means of worshipping. Now, this is very important because some people say that work is worship, or manava seva is madhava seva. This is all some made up ideas. Krishna is saying, worship me. And namaskaru, offer obeisances. This is very important. Bowing down, offering obeisances. Accepting our subordinate position. Becoming humble. All these things are required. Sometimes we see people come into temples and they just walk in. They just stand there. Maybe they just go. Krishna says, Namaskar. Prabhupada translates as offer obeisances. Bow down. Bow down to purifying. Before I joined this one, I saw some book on Hatha Yoga. So it said that in that book it says Bhakti Yoga is also good because there's a lot of bowing down. So it's good exercise for the back. It stretches your back. That's not the purpose. Purpose is that we recognize, you see in this material world, we're all puffed up with a hankar. Ishvara Allah Hamdhuri. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Bowing down before Krishna, that means nama. That means negation of the idea that I am great. Krishna, you are great. I'm your eternal servant. I nanda tanja kinkaram patitam maham vishame kinkaram. Ipayata matata panka just in the daily sadhushan. Does anyone know this verse? Do you know this verse? Right. These are the eight prayers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shikshashtaka, in which all the essence of Vaishnava philosophy, all the rasa, everything is concentrated. So he says that, Nanda Tanaja, Krishna, I'm your eternal servant, but somehow or other I've fallen into this material world. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and make me one particle of dust in your lotus feet. That is the attitude of the devotee. Let me be a particle of dust in the lotus feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also taught that we should consider ourselves the dasa nidasa, servant of the servant. Very humble position. Everyone in this material world is trying to show that I am very big, I am very great. So what kind of car do you drive? You have to drive a Mercedes. Then only you're prestigious. You have to drive a big car, you have to have a big salary, big position, CEO. Everyone wants to show, I am very big. But we're all very small. Even if you are the president of America, you're just you have this position. Anyway, this position, you are theoretically in charge of the world's most powerful country. Actually, the businessman, you are the servant of them. So you are theoretically in charge. But anyway, what is this earth? It's just a tiny planet in a tiny universe. There are millions and billions of universes. And you're president of America for a short time. In your next life, I don't like to say that, you know. He's not a very moral person, so. You know, you can't expect to be born as a very high birth. One life you may be president of America, the next life a cat or dog. So, you may think I'm very great. This greatness, anyway, it's only relatively great. Among the ants, there's the queen ant. And the ants think she's God. It's the same thing. We think the president, the prime minister, is very great. But we're all very small. So it's actually only sanity to recognize that I'm a tiny, tiny, tiny servant of Krishna. And we become so happy by recognizing that. Otherwise, as long as we're trying to show I'm great, we're always full of anxiety because we're not great. And it's a great competition to try and keep ourselves up and push everyone else down. We make friends with someone big with the idea that I'll take advantage and I'll get up above them. There's one story, Prabhupada was in Japan negotiating with the Dai Nippon printing company to print his books. So they were in the room and they all the executive officers gave Prabhupada their cards, their visiting cards. So then they all left and Prabhupada was just left with a junior officer who was acting as a guide. So Prabhupada asked him, what is your goal of life? So this junior officer, he took all the cards that were there, left on the table, and put on top the CEO's card, and the vice president's card, and the different, in order of their rank. And his junior officer, naturally his was at the bottom. So he took out the card, put his on top. This is my goal of life. Everyone wants that. But you can't be on top. Even Hiranyakashipu became on top by great difficulty. But he wasn't satisfied. And eventually he was killed by Nrisimha. So as long as we're trying to be number one, we'll always be full of anxiety because we cannot be number one. But as soon as we bow down to Krishna, then all that big load of anxiety goes away. We become so happy. Kadaham aikantika nitya king karatta haashiya shantisa. There's one prayer by Yamunacharya, great Acharya himself indeed. He says, Kadaham aikantika nitya king karatta. When will I be recognized as your eternal aikantik servant? Aikantik means only one aikanishta. Your servant only. Bahashi Yashami will be very happy. Sanata Jivita. means author. No parents, no master. So actually everyone in this world is anatta, because we forgot who is a nata, who is a master. So the devotee of Krishna feels very satisfied. He knows Krishna is looking after him. It's both of Krishna's. He doesn't have to try for something which is useless anyway. Trying to become on top. What is the value? Materialistic people can't understand why it's humility. They think it's some kind of cowardice. Actually, the devotee is very, very, very satisfied with the relationship.
What is the best devotional service you can do for Krishna?
Well, there are many different ways you can serve Krishna. The best thing is to love Krishna with all our heart. Best way, the most important process is called chanting the holy names of Krishna. Most important process. You also make a nice altar in your home. Worship, offer your food. I made one little book. Have you seen that book, Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness? Which gives some basic directions to it. So you live at home, peacefully, chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna will be satisfied. If you can preach and bring others to Krishna consciousness, that will satisfy you even more. You can live very nicely and serve. People waste their time watching TV. You have said a Srimad Bhagavatam. This is connected. It's better than millions of TV programs. To study the Bhagavatam, the stories of the great devotees, the different avatars of the Lord, and the philosophy explained by all the previous acharyas, how they distilled that. That is actual meaning. If you get time, study these books.
One more question. What is the significance of putting tilaka in the veil?
Tilaka, that signifies us as devotees of Krishna. This is our trademark. When you put on the tilak, it's a home teacher by an animal, it's actually this invoking the Supreme Lord and His protection. This Gopi Chandan is very sacred. And if anyone is wearing that, then Krishna will be very pleased, you know, because it's marking ourselves as we are the servants of Krishna. So Krishna becomes very pleased. And anyone who's wearing this Gopi Chandan and make beads and all these things, Yamaraja will never come. Just by wearing that is pure. All these things help to establish our relationship with Krishna.
And when the 12 places they put the tilaka, those are for like temples of worship, like that's something. What do they do like temples of worship?
No, not exactly temples of worship. Our body is meant for worship of Krishna. So you should put on two legs. Should be a space in the middle there. And there's the point. The top part is supposed to be like the footprint of Krishna. And this is represented to us, which is very dear to Krishna.
What is it?
Which is very dear.
The base is what?
Tulsi. Tulsi. Tulsi.
And you said about 3/4 of the moon.
Yeah, it should be 3-foot. Padma Purana says 3-padha. It was about 3/4 of the moon. I'm writing another book, but it's almost finished. Yeah. Vaishnava culture etiquette of the Guru. What's your experience in detail?
Significance of 3/4 of the moon.
Significance means that may not be significant, but it should be the shape of the tulsi leaf. So the tulsi leaf has a particular shape and size.
So even on arms and chest also, we have to put the same thing as we put on the forehead?
Yeah, it's pretty much nice. Very nice. When you wear tila, you feel. Actually, if you don't wear it, then you feel it's kind of strange. When you're going to work, you may not be able to work. You may be able to also, because how bold you are. But in this culture, in this country, but at least you could put water for this part. For the other parts, you could put this. which you can watch and say the mantra. Actually, everyone in India used to do it. If not, Vaishnav Tila, some people can do it. Nowadays, people sometimes think it's strange. But if you come out, so I know I was telling one devotee who's working as a salesman. So I said to him, you can also work. So he started working. So people asked, what is this? I said, Tila, then it was a member of Gauri Vaishnav or something like ISKCON. Shows the movie, you have courage in your belief. Actually, there's one story about that talk. That there was a factory in India where all the, in that village they made the factory, all the people were traditionally Vaishnavas. So they all used to go to the factory with Tila. Then the Muslim bought the factory. And he told them that from now on, no one shall wear Tila coming to this country. So the next day, if you're okay without Tila, one man is wearing Tila. He said, all right, we can wear it because he has the cover for it. No one else will wear it.
And second one?
There was a factory that had been set up in a village where all, in that village people were traditionally Vaishnavas, so they was used to wear Vaishnava tila. And then a Muslim bought the factory and he told that now no one should wear tila. So the next morning only one man came with tila. So the Muslim proprietor said, he can wear tila. Because he actually has the faith to do so, no one else will do it. There's a point, you get a lot of strength by sticking to your principles, actually. You shouldn't be afraid, you're safe. You're safe for your I've had many experiences like that. If you boldly stick to your principles, many experiences. Once I was coming on a flight from St. Petersburg to London, and one man came up, he was a little skeptical. He said, well, how's the conversion rate? He said, I don't mean the money. Are you converting many Russians? And I said, yes, actually. He took it, so he was speaking sarcastically. I said, yes, it's actually a very good field for spreading spiritual culture because people are disgusted with material life. There's nothing in it, and he started preaching. And he actually became a little, you know, he wasn't expecting that. He thought he was putting me down, but I started to. He was, and then he told me actually he was a lord in one of these. British law. He was happy. But many times I've had that experience. Once at an airport in America, I was waiting for my bag to come. What's this? Where are you dressed up? I said, I remember the Hare Krishna movement. So, well, are those people that sell the books? I said, yes, we're the people who distribute these books of spiritual knowledge for the benefit of mankind. He was a little sarcastic, I thought that I was very strong. And then I was preaching to him, and then I sold him a book. I was carrying my books, Beginner's Guide, with me. So in the end, I sold him a book. So it's good to be strong. What favorite question?
Maybe Krishna has come in that way of sarcastic faith with this.
We can take like that. The point is that we should not be afraid of or shy of. Yes, the devotees of Krishna. Krishna is super. Is what people say, what is this way about? You're not drinking, you're not smoking, you're not going to parties. I say, no, we're not. We have our own parties. We have our own dancing, not disco dancing and drunk. We're dancing every day. You see, why only have a party? We have a party every day. We're dancing. If you're dancing, that is the dog dance. This is the dance going back to run back to Russia. So we're dancing, we're preparing that we will dance eternally. In the spiritual world of Krishna. There's a picture in the room, I'm making one book on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so I saw it. I just did Bahrain, I saw one very nice picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm taking that. It's actually copied from our ISKCON DVD, but I'm taking that to make put on the cover of this book. Lord Chaitanya, dancing in ecstasy. Actually, there's one famous atheist from Germany in the last century, Nietzsche. I don't know if you studied philosophy. He was a big last atheist. So, actually, I actually became an atheist for the same reason when I was about 12 years old. Here's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing.
in ecstasy.
So this is our aim of life, to join these devotees in the same way. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is described when the devotees were performing with kirtan with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were dancing in such ecstasy, they forgot their bodies, they forgot their homes, they forgot their families, they forgot everything, they forgot they were supposed to be time for dinner, they forgot everything. They just were actually in ecstasy with kirtan. So anyway, there's this nitsit, demon, atheist. He became an atheist. Because actually at the age of about 12 or something, I also superficially became an atheist, because I thought, hey, this God is simply punishing everyone and sending them to hell forever. What kind of person is that? And even my own father, he gets angry with me if I do something wrong, but he wouldn't send me to burn forever. He'd give me another chance. Then later on I heard about reincarnation. That makes sense. So anyway, Nietzsche became an atheist, but he said sarcastically, he wrote once that, I could believe in a God if he would be dancing. Because they have the idea that God is an angry old man sitting on a cloud punishing everyone. But here is God, dancing. Poor Nitsa, we already went there. He lost the flow. So Krishna is dancing, Mahaprabhu is dancing. He felt it. He believed in this. Our religion means this Krishna conscious means Anandam Bhuti Bhardhanam, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing. There is a great ocean of ecstasy, which is always increasing. And Pratipadam Purnamadasvadhanam. Pratipadam means at every step. Pratipadam Purna Amrita Asvadhanam. Tasting full nectar. Ah. This is what we want. Lifetime after lifetime, we're looking for happiness. But we're not finding it. This is happiness. Krishna. This is ecstasy. So having said this, let me say this. See, throw your friends. You can't trust them. You can only trust Krishna. You'll get a reflection. I'm going to have this scanned in your bones. Maybe we can make some posters. You can print it. So having talked about this, why don't we have practical demonstration? Not only theory, but practical chemistry. Theory and practical, we should have some chanting and dancing. Before that, I just have to, because I still have this material body. Pass water often. So I'll do that. And then we can all have some chanting and dancing.